says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan aniva nijone gosha othya, nijone gosha othya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. Music from the Cree drum Blackstone off their Canyon Records CD, Round Dance Singing. The name of the song was entitled Just Like Old Times. I featured that song since it reminded me of when Wolf Mountain Radio used to play that song when we broadcast from Boston Community Radio Station WMFO 91.5 FM, which was right after the time I returned from Central America as a reporter covering the violence and warfare in the region, which, as many Wolf Mountain Radio listeners know, was greatly influenced by U.S. foreign policy. This is in keeping with today's program focus, a Native retrospective of Nicaragua, a presentation of American Indian activist Vernon Bellacourt's 1981 trip to Nicaragua. Ashkwe greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Recently, Nicaragua, a Central American country whose demographics includes the indigenous Suma, Rama, and Miskito peoples, has made international headline news with the 2006 re-election of former president and Sandinista leader Daniel Ortega. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, in the mid-1980s, I was a journalist based in Guatemala and had the opportunity to travel in Honduras, El Salvador, and Nicaragua, visiting different tribal communities. Many of our listeners probably know that that was a very dangerous time to be in Central America, especially for indigenous peoples, who often were the targets and victims of much violence, either by government military or anti-government guerrillas. I witnessed some of the repression of tribal peoples firsthand. I also saw Native people struggling to maintain their cultures in the midst of racism, discrimination, and efforts of national assimilation by each Central American country. I was privileged to see grassroots community-based Native peoples organize tribal organizations to fight for their rights of sovereignty and self-determination, which continues even now in 2006. Many of our worldwide listeners have heard our Wolf Mountain Radio interviews over the years from a number of Central and South American Native elders and representatives of Native organizations we've been honored to give voice to. Even then, Indigenous leaders in the region were making connections with Native leaders in North America. One such example was the visits of American Indian activist Mr. Vernon Bellacourt to Nicaragua in the 1980s. In today's program, we are honored to listen to remarks from a 1981 trip by Vernon to Miskito, Suma, and Rama territory. This recording was done by Wolf Mountain Radio with permission from Mr. Bellacourt when he spoke about his trip to Nicaragua to a forum in Boston I attended. When I heard about Daniel Ortega's re-election, I went to our Wolf Mountain Radio Library archives to give our listeners an opportunity to reflect on what President Ortega's return to power in Nicaragua might mean to the indigenous peoples of Nicaragua. Before we listen to the presentation of Vernon Bellacourt, let me provide a little background information about Nicaragua, as well as a brief introductory bio of Mr. Vernon Bellacourt. Nicaragua is the largest country in Central America, slightly larger than New York State. Honduras is her northern neighbor, and Costa Rica borders her to the south. Geographically, Nicaragua is mountainous in the west with fertile valleys. The Pacific coast is very fertile due to its volcanic soils. Along its Pacific coast is El Salvador. The Caribbean coast is predominantly low-lying swamplands and has the nickname the Miskito Coast. Two large lakes in the southwest region of the country, Lake Nicaragua and Lake Managua, are connected by the Tipitapa River. Although only approximately 15% of land is arable, agriculture is an important sector. Coffee, banana, sugarcane, cotton, rice, corn, and even tobacco are primary crops. Animal agriculture includes beef, veal, pork, poultry, and dairy products. Natural resources include minerals, gold, silver, copper, tungsten, lead, zinc, and timber, as well as the small fisheries. Nicaragua has a limited petroleum refining and distribution industry. Culturally, nearly 69% of the population are mestizo, 17% white, 9% black, and 5% are indigenous peoples, Sumu, Rama, and Mosquito peoples. Mr. Vernon Bellicoot, his Indian name Wabun Inni, Man of Dawn, is Anishinaabe or Ojibwa from the White Earth Native community of what's now called Minnesota. Vernon has been a warrior for Native American and Indigenous peoples for many years. He participated in the 1992 takeover of the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs headquarters building. He was involved in the historic 1993 Wounded Knee occupation, serves as president of the National Coalition on Racism in Sports and Media. Vernon Bellicoot helped organize the first International Indian Treaty Council in 1974. He is a special representative of the International Indian Treaty Council. Vernon Bellicoot is a national representative of the American Indian Movement's Grand Governing Council. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushin Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pertzker. Aho, Kanan Wantakwasin to all of our relations. Please listen now to Mr. Vernon Bellicoot.
The American Indian Movement and its international political arm and diplomatic corps, the International Indian Treaty Council, which council has a NGO, non-governmental organizational status at the United Nations, has for some time advocated the unification of the 80 million plus indigenous peoples of North, Central, and South America against various immigrant colonial governments and regimes and societies that are denying the indigenous peoples rights to survive in our own homeland, the rights to benefit and to control our territories, our natural resources, in fact, just a basic right of survival. And because of that, we have obviously been for some time concerned about the revolutionary process, specifically in Central America, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala, because we view that as a manifestation of our history, victims of a 489-year Holocaust by various immigrant colonial regimes in almost every country in Americas, oppressing almost every indigenous group of Indian peoples and nations of Indian peoples in the Americas. That unification of all indigenous people against this colonial domination is obviously very critical and very important to our total survival as a people. Consequently, we see in Nicaragua in particular a situation, a historical event took place, a revolution took place where the government, the National Government for National Reconstruction, the Sandinista Party, who is in power, for the first time in history, now a government has the opportunity to deal yet with an identifiable indigenous nation that has not been totally eradicated through the acts of genocide as we have seen in other parts of the world or other parts of this hemisphere. And consequently, we've seen that it was important to become involved in this revolutionary process because how the government of Nicaragua deals with the indigenous people will either decide whether various progressive forces in Central South America, North America, in the revolutionary transformation of the political landscape will either have as formidable allies the indigenous peoples. On the other hand, if they don't deal with them in an honorable fashion, obviously they will have a formidable foe. It is because of that reason and the fact that starting in 1974, the International Indian Treaty Council has been working on an international level for the unification of all indigenous nations of the what is now called the Americas. In 1977, the International Indian Treaty Council was part of the process that organized the first international conference on the question of discrimination against the indigenous nations and peoples of the Americas, held at the United Nations headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland. Later on, we participated in almost yearly the United Nations Human Rights Conferences, where we continued to submit documentation and present evidence to the international body about the continued criminal acts against indigenous nations. We presented testimony this past November before the Bertram Russell Tribunal in Rotterdam, Holland, which tried the various immigrant governments of the Americas for their crimes against the indigenous peoples. And in fact, we found every government guilty. The tribunal found every government guilty as charged. In September, we again, as part of our work at the United Nations, the International Indian Treaty Council was a co-sponsor of the International NGO Conference on Indigenous Peoples and Their Land. Through that conference and similar conference on international, we have made contacts and friendships with Miskito Indians, Rama Indians, Sumu Indians. In fact, the various liberation fronts representing upwards to 80 million indigenous peoples of the Americas to continue the process of unification of all nations. It was through that effort in September at the United Nations, we were invited by a representative of the Nicaraguan government, as well a representative of the Miskito Nation and the Sumo Nation, to come to Nicaragua and see firsthand what they characterized as forces of imperial, North American imperialism, manipulating the Miskito Indian peoples on the Coco River out of Honduras, which has obviously caused the beginning disintegration of the Miskito peoples along the Nicaraguan-Honduran border in Nicaragua. We went to the country the last week of November to attend an international conference on agrarian reform, having a great deal of interest as a tribal leader among my own nation over the issue of land, land tenure, exploitation of land and resources was perhaps one of the main reasons in going to the country, to Managua, to the conference and visiting the country. However, upon arriving there and being briefed by what has been happening along the Coco River with the manipulations of the Miskito people, efforts to make them part of the counter-revolutionary movement. In fact, there has been a situation where one of the recognized leaders at one time, who has since, I understand, has been alienated from his own Miskito people, was instrumental in causing almost 3,000 Miskitos to cross over into Honduras, where it was alleged by the government some of them became part of the counter-revolutionary movement. It was also brought to our attention that on the week of the 14th through the 22nd of December, the United Nations Human Rights Commission, as part of its decade, its mandated decade to combat racism, were holding the third seminar on racism and racial discrimination. The reason the conference was held in Managua, because the focus was the indigenous peoples of the Americas. This obviously come about through a consciousness in the United Nations, through the work of the International Indian Treaty Council and other Indian organizations from Central, South, and North America, who have brought about a new consciousness in the United Nations structure about the legitimate rights of indigenous peoples. Having attended that conference, we had an opportunity once again to meet with Campesino, representatives of Campesino organizations from many countries of the world, specifically Central, South America, North America. We had a chance to meet with some of the recognized leaders of the various liberation fronts who are part of the Patriotic Front in Guatemala, Patriotic Front in El Salvador, struggling against immigrant colonial domination, governments of El Salvador and Guatemala, both armed directly or indirectly by the United States government. Found out, and we've known for a long time, that while the United States is not directly aiding the junta in Guatemala, that they are using Israel as a proxy to ship arms to Argentina and Chile, which are bringing about the Holocaust of the indigenous peoples. Also, we were able to travel quite extensively throughout Nicaragua, throughout the Pacific coast, throughout the Atlantic coast, where we visited firsthand with Miskitos, with Ramas, with Sumus. With many of them had criticisms about the Sandinista government. They had, we feel, viable, legitimate issues such as territory, the right to control their resources. After all, they must be legitimate because these are the issues we are raising against the United States government. However, it was the government's thought that these issues were raised within a time when the revolution, they're still struggling to preserve their revolution that cost them so dearly, that they felt it was raised in a counter-revolutionary context. It was on the basis of that the relationship between some of the Miskito leaders and the government for national reconstruction seemingly had continued to deteriorate as far as one faction of the Miskito were concerned. In all honesty, while I tell you that there was much criticism among the populations on the Atlantic coast, particularly the Miskito people, there was as much support. for the Sandinista government. Looking at our own experience of being dominated by the United States for so many years, not only does it colonize your land and your resources, but it certainly colonizes the spirit and the mind. People become economically, many times even politically, dependent on the enemy, the colonizer. And I think that this was, in a sense, some of the things that we observed in some communities, that people, after the revolution, when many of the corporations either fled the country because they could no longer exploit the resources and the labor of the people, or were in fact kicked out of the country for their exploitation, that because a situation of unemployment increased, many people were looking for short-term fixes for their economic condition rather than the long-term of the overall revolution. So these are basically our observations. Certainly we don't represent ourselves to be experts on Nicaragua, but I think in a sense, having struggled against colonialism for 480 some years, certainly we are experts on colonialism and imperialism.
Thank you. to Nicaragua to help rebuild after the earthquake with the money proudly sent by these United States. But when I got to Nicaragua, there was no more American money, and so Moses pockets looked a little bit funny. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maria, she fought with friends to free her country. Now warships they come, foreign troops arrive on the border.
Estás escuchando el programa de radio Wolf Mountain, honrando a la Tierra Madre y voces indígenas, una producción del Centro Nativo Yadkirishi. La radio Wolf Mountain de Yadkirishi es un servicio de medios independientes indígena. Nuestro programa, honrando a la Tierra Madre y voces indígenas, sirve para proteger la Tierra Madre Sagrada y defender las culturas tradicionales de gente nativa en todo el mundo. La radio Wolf Mountain presenta las situaciones enfrentadas por tierras nativas y comunidades indígenas con noticias, entrevistas, comentarios, música y reportes investigativos. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yadkirishi Native Center. Yadkirishi's Wolf Mountain Radio is an independent indigenous media service. Our award-winning program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and defend the traditional cultural lifeways of Native peoples around the world. Wolf Mountain Radio presents the situations facing Native lands and tribal communities with news, interviews, commentaries, music, and investigative reports.
The song you heard prior to our Yadkirishi Native Center program identification was entitled, Who Are the Terrorists?, sung by the All Peoples Singers. Today's program is a Native retrospective of the Central American country Nicaragua, featuring the remarks of Native American activist Mr. Vernon Bellacourt. Mr. Bellacourt is an Anishinaabe, more commonly known as Ojibwa. Waboon Inni, Man of Dawn, is his tribal name. As mentioned in today's program introduction, Vernon Bellacourt has been a warrior for the rights of Native American and Indigenous peoples around the world for many years. He is a special representative of the International Indian Treaty Council, as well as a national representative of the American Indian Movement's Grand Governing Council. Vernon visited Nicaragua during the Sandinista government era to see firsthand their revolutionary progressive movement and the relations between the Sandinistas and the indigenous Miskito, Suma, and Rama peoples. Yadkirishi Native Center, like the International Indian Treaty Council, support sovereignty and self-determination of all Native peoples throughout the world. We both are also concerned for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of future generations. The unity of Indigenous peoples throughout what's now called the Americas, also referred to as the Western Hemisphere, namely North Central South America, is that prayer we Native peoples honor in the spirit of the eagle and the condor. This is why we so-called North American Indians are so very much concerned about the situations facing the lands and peoples of our Native brothers and sisters to our south. We shall continue our program now by listening to excerpts from the question and answer session from Mr. Bellecourt's presentation. Several of the topics of the question and answer refer to the Sandinista government's relocation policy, issue of indigenous people's autonomy and control over their land and natural resources within Nicaragua, Native leadership relationships to the Sandinista government, and the issue of natural resources and energy exploitation by multinational companies and the national government in Miskito Suma Rama Indian Territory. Once again, you are listening to Wolf Mountain Press, honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, kanawantakwasin to all of our relations.
The extent of relocation that's gone on, a resettlement of Miskito and other indigenous peoples in Nicaragua, do you think the extent of relocation to resettlement camps is justified in the name of border security?
Well, not having been in Nicaragua since the relocations have taken place in the Coca River, it's difficult for us to make an intelligent evaluation or assessment on that issue. I can tell you this, we have heard both sides of the story. While in Washington, I had an opportunity to hear the testimony of one of the past Miskito leaders, who obviously is even discredited now in his own communities, who was in the company and being hosted by an organization called the American Security Council, who obviously is in support of the Reagan administration's policies of genocide in El Salvador and in Guatemala. And therefore, if the man was in fact a genuine leader, he certainly would not have been in the company of peoples like the American Security Council, and he would not have allowed himself to be manipulated by Abrams in the State Department, nor would he allow himself to be manipulated by people like Senator Jesse Helms and Senator Kasten of Wisconsin, and everyone understands where they're coming from politically. As far as the relocations are concerned, we heard other testimony that the conditions for the indigenous people, the Miskito peoples in Nicaragua, is really not all that bad, and where the suffering is really taking place is among the 12,000 or so Miskitos who were lured over, some of them lured over to Honduras by the counter-revolutionary movement. Others, of course, because of the disintegration of the relationship between the government of Nicaragua and some segments of the Miskito community, have become also refugees in Honduras. We're not saying that every Nicaraguan that has gone to Honduras is a counter-revolutionary, but according to government information received from the government, they have pretty good reason to believe that at least some of them have, in fact, become part of the counter-revolutionary movement. Let me just conclude on that point by saying we have been invited now, once again, to form another delegation to go to Nicaragua, to go to the Coca River, to go to the camps, and to see for ourselves. And perhaps when we return from that visit, we will certainly be in a better position to make a better assessment of the situation. That was the experience we had when we were in the country last time. We were generally given an opportunity to walk and travel freely throughout the communities, visit with as many people. We were sought out for secret meetings by some people who were critical of the government, who were concerned about their safety. We respect their wishes, and of course we in no way would jeopardize the fact that they did meet with us under those circumstances. However, there was very open meetings where there was criticism, open criticism. Of course, there was very open meetings where there was praise and support for the government. So it's difficult for one several thousands of miles away to assess what is really happening. It's a very complex situation with many problems, and obviously one that can better be resolved by the peoples of the Atlantic coast, the Miskito Indians, and the government of Nicaragua.
How do you feel about the visit of Armstrong Wiggins? Do you feel that, what forces does he represent in your eyes?
I've listened here the past 3 days, beginning the other night, where I was speaking on my trip to Nicaragua at MIT. Mr. Wiggins and Mr. Brooklyn Rivera showed up and sat in the audience and listened to my presentation. And it seemed like that in some respects about some leaders of the Miskito people who have now been discredited, and they have also said this, that they are not part, they've said that they are not part of the counter-revolutionary movement, that their struggle against the government in Nicaragua, in Managua in particular, the Junta for National Reconstruction, is a struggle between the Indian peoples and the government. And that is not part of the counter-revolutionary movement. They have continually told us that they're not here to malign or condemn the revolution, but they have some very serious differences over land and territories, the right to live as a distinct people within the territories of Nicaragua, and there seems to be some differences on that as far as the government is concerned. Hopefully, because of what I've described before, that they will resolve these differences. It's very important, obviously, to the aspirations of all the oppressed indigenous peoples of the Americas who have obviously suffered too long. Well, in the area of natural resource exploitation and development of the natural resources of indigenous peoples and nations, it's obvious that the same corporations that are being protected by the military junta of Guatemala, who are committing genocide against the indigenous peoples of Guatemala, El Salvador, Bolivia, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, Argentina, I can go on and list almost every country of North, Central, and South America. It's always the same corporations that are being protected by the military. And each and every time these corporations and the military aid to those dictators, those governments, are supported by the United States and American corporations. So we look back historically at the exploitation of our lands and resources in Minnesota, the timber resources on the White Earth Reservation at the turn of the century, billions of board feet of white pine, red pine, and other pine timber was literally stolen, swindled from our people. That's really been the history, where while we are rich in natural resources, we are at the bottom rung of the economic ladder, that through a series of judicial decisions, what could best be characterized as legislative fiat, in other words, passing laws to make it legal, but nonetheless criminal acts, that they continue to keep us locked into chronic cycles of poverty. And if we're to survive as a people, we realize that we must change that. And so many people within our movement, the American Indian Movement and the International Indian Treaty Council, are dedicated to that principle of change.
Thank you. and right till the center, some look for peace. The dream is one of beauty. The lion sleeps with the lion. But those who sleep between them better sleep lightly if they can.
Go, I said, go.
There's no center in his life.
Go, I said, go, amigo.
The song you just heard was entitled No A Central, sung by the All People Singers. Prior to our Yad Kiddushi Native Center program identification, we featured the song entitled Song for Ingrid by flutist Mary Youngblood and Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah off Mary Youngblood's Silver Wave record CD, Heart of the World. This is an honor song to three brave warriors who were murdered in 1999 while helping to defend the native Uwa people's land and culture in what's now called Columbia, South America. Menominee's sister, Ingrid Washinawatok, Terence Frita, and Lahane A. Gay were working with the Uwa fight against oil companies from drilling on their traditional lands. Ingrid, Terence, and Lahane were human rights activists, and while setting up a school system designed to keep the traditional Uwa culture strong, were murdered by FARC rebels. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. I hope you appreciated today's program, a Native retrospective of Nicaragua, presentation of American Indian activist Mr. Vernon Bellecourt, Waboon Indi, visit to Nicaragua during the time of the Sandinista government under the leadership of Daniel Ortega. Yad Kiddushi Native Center monitors and reports on international issues that are important to indigenous peoples. The news of the recent re-election of Daniel Ortega to the presidency of Nicaragua this fall of 2006 and what this means to the Miskito, Sumu, and Rama native lands and communities is an example of important news. This is why Wolf Mountain Radio broadcasts this retrospective on Nicaragua. We shall conclude today's program with a song from Blackfeet singer-songwriter Jack Gladstone's CD, Buffalo Cafe. The song is entitled Valley of the Little Bighorn. As most listeners to Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices know, the Little Bighorn are the buffalo grasslands of the Lakota, Northern Cheyenne, and Arapaho Indian nations, who were attacked in June 25th to the 26th, 1876, by the U.S. Army's infamous 7th Cavalry under the command of Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer. We native peoples refer to that battle site as the Battle of the Greasy Grass, near the Little Bighorn River in what is now called eastern Montana. U.S. Government Indian Inspector M.E.C. Watkins issued a report that there were many Northern Plains Indians leaving government concentration camps called reservations, as well as some Indians unwilling to leave their buffalo lands and be forced onto reservations which were under the control of the U.S. Army. In response to this report, as well as the government's policy of violating treaties and taking more Indian land for American settlers, the U.S. Army ordered a military force using both infantry and cavalry, as well as a small detachment of artillery, including the new weapon at the time, Gatling guns. This campaign consisted of three columns, General Crooks, Colonel John Gibbons, and General Alfred Terry, that included Colonel Custer's regiment, the 7th Cavalry. June 25, 1876, Colonel Custer, with 31 officers, 566 soldiers, and 35 scouts, primarily Crow Indians, attacked what he mistakenly thought was an easily defeatable group of Indians. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, Custer's 7th Cavalry was defeated by the Lakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho warriors under the leadership of Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse. The song you will hear is from the perspective of a U.S. Cavalry soldier. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kedeshi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, Kenan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
The sun arose far to the east, where we had once been born. The orders had been given to be riding before morn. Mounted men on cavalry, we faced a trail of thorns in the valley of the Little Bighorn. Reno, Benteen, and Custer led our command that day. Water, Sioux, and Cheyenne camped beyond the plain. Who would see survival? Who would be forlorn in the valley of the Little Bighorn? I was a soldier who rode to the tune of a bugler's carryall on a June afternoon. Away from my loved ones, away from my home, apart from the woman that I held as my own. A leave will be granted to the man without help, kills the first savage and brings me his scalp. The reason for our presence in this land is gold, lust, or bloodthirst taking our command. It doesn't really matter now, heading towards a storm in the valley of the Little Bighorn. There made three battalions from the 7th Cavalry, one with Major Reno, another with Benteen. But glory followed Custer's men, so with glory we were torn from the valley of the Little Bighorn. I was a soldier who rode to the tune of a bugler's carryall on a June afternoon. Away from my loved ones, away
from my home, apart from the woman that I held as my home. Forded the stream and went in camp, kill everyone you see. Long will live this day for us, the 7th Cavalry. Fire swept the prairie and dust hit the plains. When out of the haze rode the masters of the plains. Then death they delivered, we invaders from afar, in the battle of the Little Big Horn. The sun arose far to the east where we had once been born. The orders had been given to be riding before morn. Mounted men on cavalry, we faced a trail of thorns in the valley of the Little Big Horn. Mounted men on cavalry, we faced a trail of thorns in the valley of the Little Big Horn.